I am glad to live in America. It's a free country. I would not want to live under communism. I would not want to live under the domination of a dictator or a king. I'm glad that God let me be born here. I've had the privilege of traveling to some other foreign countries to visit and preach, and God has always blessed. There are people there who are saved. In China today, which is a communist country, the Church of Christ is thriving, even underground. God is blessing them. But a greater tragedy is to live in a free land and live in bondage. And that's what's so sad, that our nation that's supposed to be free, people are living in captivity right now. In the book of Luke, our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, look at verse 18. This is in the beginning of his ministry. And he makes this statement, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance unto the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Notice that phrase, to preach deliverance to the captive. Then over in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, I want to just read one verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." What is the condition of every lost person in the world? It's pictured for us in just those few verses. Christ said, "I've come to deliver the brokenhearted. I've come to heal blind eyes. I've come to set at liberty those that were captive." Every person who does not know Christ is a captive. That is to be under the domination of another person or another power. They determine where you go. They determine when you eat. They determine when you sleep. They determine your activities. They give you guidelines. They determine how far you can go. And you who don't know Christ and the sound of my voice in the internet are here, the Bible teaches that those who are lost are in the captivity of sin. And what an awful thing that is to be in captivity. And what's the condition when you're in captivity? Well, we are captive by our nature. Paul talked about that we are by nature the children of wrath. When you were born into Adam's race, you were born into a sinful race. You do not have to teach children to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. We are by nature children of wrath. The human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The law hath concluded all under sin. And the Bible says, "Whereas by death sin into the world, and death by sin, in that all have sinned." Because we have an old nature, we are bound by sin. There is a pleasure of sin for a season, but sin, my dear friend, is destructive. We are captive by our nature. Our will is in bondage. We have a will that would do right, but because of our nature, we cannot do right. You may want to live right. You may want to break the chains. You may want to be delivered, but in your own will, you can't do that because your will is captive. Your mind is captive. You don't have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of the world. You're captive. If you're lost, you're in bondage, in captivity of sin. That which you'd want to do, you don't do. That which you'd like to do, you can't do. You cannot save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. What is the consequence of this captivity? Well, it is a bondage of mind and spirit and soul. It results in sin. Jesus told a generation, "You're your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do." People sin because they're in captivity to sin by an old nature and by Satan himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8 says this, that he takes them captive at his will. Those who don't know Christ are subject to Satan and to his will, to do his will. But Christ came, he said, to set at liberty those that were captive. And because of that sin, because of that sin nature, because of that lustful nature, Paul talked about those who live according to the flesh. That's that old nature. You have a bondage because you have an old nature. And the results of that is sin. And the results of sin is ultimately death. But in this passage of Scripture, Our Lord says this. He said, I've come to set at liberty them that were bound, those that were captive. He came to help us. He came to set us free from the consequence of sin and from the condemnation of sin. And how did he do that? He came to pay our debt. He died our death. He paid our sin debt. And therefore, he comes to us now to set at liberty, to preach the gospel, he said. The gospel's good news. The good news is that you don't have to live in bondage to sin. The good news is the debt has been paid. And the good news is whosoever will may come. That deliverance only comes through one person. He said, I have come to set at liberty them that were bound, those that were captive. He's the only one who can do it. You want to do better, but you can't. You've tried so hard, but you can't accomplish it. You cannot do it. He's the only one who can. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He'll come, my dear friend, deliver you completely. He'll break every chain, every yoke. I love that song, My Sins, My Chains Are Gone. Tim and them do that in the drama ministry. That's a beautiful picture to me, to see the chains of sin broken off of a man, off of a woman, off a boy, off a girl. I got a phone call as I was leaving on last Thursday to travel down to Atlanta to preach in revival for Brother Wayne Warren. And it was a driver, he'd called me that night previously and left a message, and it was so late I wouldn't call him back. But we talked on the phone as I was traveling down 70 heading towards Atlantic, North Carolina. He told me his name and he said, sir, I walked by your box at the Big Boy truck stop down in Selma 1,000 times. He said, I know I've gone over and over again. And he said, but just the other day, something compelled me to pick up one of those CDs. He said, I began to listen to it as I was driving my 18-wheeler down the highway. And he said, God, the Holy Ghost, dealt with my heart. I've been in bondage to sin. I wanted to do better. I wanted to be a good husband. I wanted to be a good daddy, but I couldn't do it. And he said, God spoke to me. It's a message that I preached here called Every House. And then he said, I prayed a prayer. I don't remember praying. I'll do that on the CDs. But he said, you prayed a prayer. And he said, when you prayed that prayer, he said, I pulled my 18-wheeler over. I got out of my car, out of my truck, and I got on the shoulder of the road. And I knelt down and I asked Jesus to come in my heart. And he said, I'll just tell you, I have felt such a relief, such a freedom I've never known before. My dear friend, he's God and he's able to save. He lives up in Oxford. He said, I hope someday I can bring my wife and children. We can come to your church and we'll get to meet you. But I said, I'm sure glad I get to meet you in heaven. What can he do? He'll break every chain. He'll break that hold that's on you, that lust in your heart, those desires, those thoughts that you can't rid yourself of. He'll do that. But then he will empower those that were slain. I'm glad that I can't live the Christian life and neither can you. But when you get saved, he comes in you. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. My dear friend, he died and he can empower you to live the Christian life. You can't do it yourself. But if you'll trust him and him alone, he'll give you everlasting life. But then may I say this to you, not only does he deliver you, not only will he break the chains and not only will he empower you to live the Christian life, but he will defend you against the enemy. The Bible said, if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I love that verse in the Bible that says, the battle is the Lord's. We don't have to win a battle. We don't have to win the victory. We know the victor. We just trust him. But thank God, listen, Brad was right about this wonderful land. I do love America. In spite of all that we're going through, our nation is in turmoil and it's in a downward spiral. But thank God, listen, Paul said, he said, our citizenship is in heaven. I'm glad for this free land. But when he set us free, He also destined us to live in a land of perfect freedom forever and forever. Because you know Christ is your Savior, one of these days you'll live in a land where there's absolute bliss, absolute joy, absolute freedom, because you know Christ and Christ alone. Thank God for America. Thank God we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're going to a place of beauty that He has already prepared for us, and we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Perfect liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer today for you in the internet and in this building is that you would not live in bondage while living in a free country. You can know freedom, real freedom, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior and Lord. Would you bow with us for prayer? Stand together, will you, as you're standing today. Thank God for America, and we need to pray. We need to be obedient. We need to live a life and share Christ. We are, as James said, rescuing brands from the burning. We're on a sinking ship, and it's our job to win everybody we can to Christ and tell them about Jesus. My dear friend, let's use our freedom and our liberty while we can to seek God in prayer and to share the gospel to those that are captive, that Christ might deliver them. And listen, we ought to be obedient to Him and do what He'd have us to do. If you're here today or in the media audience and you've struggled, you've tried and tried and tried to be set free from addiction, from lust, from the bondage of sin, from old habits, you have no peace and no joy. I was reading again while Brother Barry was teaching this morning, and I thought about that little phrase that he emphasized, grace and peace, grace and peace. And it's all through the New Testament, and the principle all through the New Testament. It's grace and peace, and there's no peace apart from grace. But by grace you're saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But He's our Savior, and by grace He'll save you. Would you call on Him? If you don't know Him today in the building or in the media audience, I'm telling you, He came to preach the gospel. He came to open blind eyes. He came to deliver the captive. He came to set at liberty all those who are bound, and to bind up the brokenhearted. You don't have to talk Him into doing it. He wants to do it if you'd but receive Him. Right now where you are, you could turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray right now that God, you'd help us to appreciate the liberty we have in this nation. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to honor you and to thank you for that liberty. But then, God, for those who are saved, and Lord, for those who have experienced real liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to ever be mindful and ever thankful that you died that we might be set free. And God, you did set us free from the law of sin and the law of death. And God, we'll live forever in a place called heaven because of that. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us as citizens and as Christians to be a witness for Jesus. God, I ask the Holy Ghost of God to do now what only He could do. Convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw people by your grace. And I pray that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, somebody in the building or in the media audience would turn now to their only hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to break every yoke, every bondage, every chain, and to set them free. And I'll thank you for it.